This is Sam Dharmasena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Brittany Bruce was an addictions counselor in Alberta for 5 years before making the move to Ontario. Now she's finishing up her Master's of Social Work at Wilfrid Laurier University and working in the realm of supportive housing. We talk about the unintended consequences of the Canada Emergency Response Benefit, CERB, which provided $2,000 monthly for Canadians that lost income due to the pandemic. CERB has recently ended after 7 months, but Brittany and I look back on the CERB rollout, the government's no questions asked approach, and the long-term impact of these decisions on the communities that she supports.
So I work for an agency in Hamilton that essentially provides affordable housing to people that typically would not be able to afford housing. And so this particular agency operates several different homes in different parts of Southern Ontario, specifically in the Hamilton area, and then also like London, Woodstock, and they are actually going to be starting in Kitchener. And so each building is a little bit different depending on how high the needs are for each individual. So I personally work in a building that offers really high support to tenants because they need it. So many of our clients struggle with substance use disorders, major mental health issues, developmental disabilities, and also kind of dual diagnoses. So we do a lot of work supporting people with basic needs, but also just supporting kind of everyday life skills. And we offer counseling groups and things like that.
Brittany began her role in the midst of the pandemic. She says that there's lots of sanitizing, politely declining handshakes, and they're mostly restricted to one-on-one sessions. She says the agency did pick up on a change in tenants' spending habits after the introduction of CERB. Many of the tenants in Brittany's building receive income support through the Ontario Disability Support Program, ODSP. And according to the Ministry of Children, Community, and Social Services, ODSP provides a maximum income support of $1,169 monthly for single people with disabilities. An individual can earn $200 per month, and after that, there's a 50% deduction on every dollar earned. ODSP has received lots of criticism for not meeting financial needs of people with disabilities. So Brittany and her peers were surprised to see that tenants were contributing more to the agency's savings program, purchasing TVs, and unfortunately also overdosing more frequently. Eventually, they realized that it was because they were collecting CERB checks. The provincial government also realized this and began reducing ODSP check amounts. Brittany explains that many of the tenants were applying for CERB when they didn't qualify, and she sees the situation as more of a government oversight than tenants gaming the system. She says it's a result of the federal government's decision to ask questions later when it comes to CERB eligibility.
A lot of people in our building have transitioned out of really transient sort of, living situation. So a lot of people were homeless and have transitioned out of homelessness, or they were living in shelters and it wasn't just consistent housing. And so to a lot of people, if you tell them, like if your friend comes home and says, hey, like if you apply to the government and you can get $2,000 for the month, I mean, that's more than an ODSP check. So of course, people are going to go after it. It has allowed people to catch up on their expenses and maybe to do the little extra things that you and I have the privilege of doing that they don't. And so when we look at things like that, I think that's where we kind of see a lot of the mess coming in. And the government, while they did their due diligence to the average person in terms of talking about what CERB was for and how to access it, I think that they forgot that not everybody has the same capacity to kind of process that information.
It took some time for federal and provincial governments to create a plan on how to move forward. Brittany says that agencies like the one she works at and ODSP caseworkers were left in the dark for a really long time. Eventually, they all learned that there would be no penalties for Canadians that received CERB when they shouldn't have, but they were expected to repay the amount. Brittany explains that it's just not possible for the tenants that she's working with. She explains that the likelihood that they'll repay CERB and meet their basic needs is highly unlikely. Payment plans can be set up for Canadians that can't repay CERB all at once, but Brittany says it's still not the solution they need.
Some of our tenants were being asked to pay back really large sums of money. So when you consider how low an ODSP check already is, they were being asked to pay like 2/3 of their check. Sometimes more, sometimes like almost the full thing, back to CERB, and they were withholding that, and it was kind of happening by a case-by-case situation. So, for example, I have one tenant. He received a $300 check. So when we look at that, what person do you know that can live on $300? So that makes it so that he is unable to fund his substance use issues, which puts him into like a dope sickness, which is unhealthy. It's not safe for anybody to withdraw like that immediately. Unable to pay his rent, unable to pay his utilities.
I asked Brittany if there was an effort from the federal government to make CERB eligibility clearer for folks that need high support, like the tenants in her building. She says that there were some documents made available online, and there's probably an assumption that people like Brittany or ODSP caseworkers would be relaying that information to the communities they're serving. But Brittany reminds me that the level of support available during the pandemic is greatly reduced. So while these groups may have done their best to notify clients, more restrictions during the online CERB application process would have lifted that burden significantly. She tells me that a lot of tenants have fallen through the cracks as different supports have adapted to the pandemic social distancing guidelines. And so many people are receiving CERB information through their social circles.
The reality is that a lot of people have not been able to maintain as meaningful of a relationship with their current supports. So some people had them over the phone. They might have a phone counseling session, but I mean, that's really difficult for people to maintain. And I think that a big point of kind of a big part of assessing a lot of our specific clients is sort of seeing what they look like physically, because that's a good indicator. So that piece has been missing. So it's been really tough.
Brittany says that she does understand that this pandemic experience is new for everyone and that we're not going to get it right immediately. But she really hopes that the federal government will see that they've played a role in this situation and that it is fundamentally different from other Canadians that are receiving CERB payments when they shouldn't be.
When we look at the intent, I think fraud to me is usually a lot more intentional from people that are highly educated and know exactly what they're doing. But this being labeled as fraud, really what it is just somebody, you know, just wanting to be okay and take care of themselves. So it's a little, yeah, I think it kind of demonizes people when it doesn't need to. And that label can be really, really harmful. I also think as well, like something to consider is that people that live in a program like ours or other social service-based programs probably have quite kind landlords and that we are understanding of their situations. But a lot of people don't have the privilege of living in those programs. There's very few of them in comparison to how many people actually need them. And so when we consider that, a lot of people are living with buildings or low-income buildings, or they're living with landlords that don't have an understanding of mental health and CERB and ODSP.
While CERB is no longer available, its impact on some Canadians has only just begun. Brittany hopes that the government sees that there are people who will not be able to pay it back, and if they do, it'll push them further into poverty. To learn more about this story, visit the CGRU website. This is Sam Dharmasena, and you've been listening to CGRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.